Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Description of Varnashram Dharma, Text Number 45. Bhagyodha Vanapayinya.
Bhagyodha Vanapayinya.
Savaloka Maheshwaram.
Savaloka Maheshwaram.
Sarvotpatyayam
Brahma.
Karanamopayati
Saha.
Bhaktya.
By loving service.
Uddhava.
My dear Uddhava.
Anapayanya. Unfailing.
Sarva
of all,
Loka,
worlds,
Maha Ishvaram,
the Supreme Lord,
Sarva
of everything, Utpati,
the cause of the creation,
Apyayam, and annihilation,
Brahma.
The absolute truth.
Karanam.
The cause of the universe.
Ma.
To me.
Upayati.
Comes.
Saha.
He. My dear Uddhava, I am the Supreme Lord of all worlds. And I create and destroy this universe, being its ultimate cause. Utpati, the cause of the creation. I am thus the absolute truth. And one who worships me with unfailing devotional service comes to me. Purport, as described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, Lord Krishna is understood in three features: as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the source of everything. Lord Krishna absorbs the impersonal philosophers into the rays of his body, appears before the perfect yogis as the Lord of the heart, and ultimately brings his pure devotees back to his own abode for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Om Jnana Dimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurude Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadahamahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Mokam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Grinim Yatkripa Tamaham Mande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. For everyone is on the path, if you like, the same path. It's just that there's this philosophy in India, yatta mat tatta pat. You know, whatever you do, we all end up in the same destination. Because this is not authorized philosophy. This is a concoction. And we know that, as Prabhupada points out, if you drive on the road to Sydney, then you're not going to get to Adelaide. or if you catch an aeroplane that's taking you to Los Angeles, you won't end up in New Delhi. So what does it mean that everybody follows my path in all respects? Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, then I reward them accordingly. Everybody follows my path in all respects. This can be understood in that everybody is on the same path, but we're either going towards Krishna or we're going away from him. And you know, if you're creating your own process, then you're going away. If you're following the systems that are recommended in the Vedic literature, then you'll be gradually moving towards, gradually being elevated, as is being described in this chapter. This is the purpose of the Varnashram Dharma. The purpose of the Varnashram Dharma, as we were discussing the other day, is to take the natural propensities of the person, the natural propensities of the individual in terms of their occupation and in terms of their ashram, and add elements of goodness that will gradually elevate a person so that they are moving towards Krishna. This is the purpose of the Varnashram Dharma, is to gradually move people towards a proper understanding, proper identification of one's self. And so, in that respect, everybody is on the same path. Yes, we're all on the same path. But we're either going towards Krishna or we're moving away from him. Or, you know, we're oscillating, if you like. Yo-yoing. Depending on how much we stick to the process. So, in this particular verse, it's described how Krishna is arrived at by the various types of yogis, if you like, in the purport. There's a reference to a verse from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. How does it go? Vedanti. Anybody know this verse? 1:2:11. Prameti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabyate. Vedanti. What's the second word? Tattva. Vedanti tattva. Vidam. Jnanas, is it? Tattvam yajjnanam advayam. Yes, advayam. Lord Krishna is understood in three features. As the impersonal Brahman, that's Brahman realization, localized Paramatma, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, everybody ultimately, if they're following this process of the of Varnashram Dharma, it will gradually be moved towards these realizations of Krishna. And depending on their advancement, they will have arrived at one or another of these understandings. The Prabhupada explains how the yoga ladder is really an indication of the various stages of jagya as recommended in the Vedas. And a person is known as a karma yogi or as a jnana yogi or as an ashtanga yogi, depending on at which point they are on this path of self-realization. So the very elevated realizations of Brahman, this advayam, which means basically non-dual substance. It's all spiritual, but it has its features. It has variety. And so therefore it can be, and it can be understood in these different forms or different varieties. Prabhupada gives the example of milk sweets made from milk and sugar. Basically, sandesh, rasgulla, burfi, rasamalai, it's all milk and sugar. Right? So it's all one, milk and sugar. But depending on how you prepare the ingredients, you'll get a different result. So similarly also, the spiritual manifestation or the spiritual features of the Lord are one, they're all spiritual, but manifest in a variety of ways. So the first aspect is the Brahman aspect, which is ultimately the rays that are emanating from Krishna's body. And the impersonalists, the impersonalist philosophers, the jnanis, they merge into those rays of Krishna's form. And for the yogis who meditate on the super soul, is manifest in the form of the Paramatma. And for the devotees, for the pure devotees, then they get an opportunity to realize the Bhagavan aspect. Because the Bhagavan aspect is the feature of the Lord that contains all of the other aspects of his personality, or impersonality, if you like. So, how does one realize the highest understanding of this Brahman, the Advayam, this non-dual feature of the Lord? How does one approach Bhagavan? It's mentioned here, bhaktya anupayinya. So a particular type of devotional service. Anupayinya is translated as unfailing. You know, in the beginning of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains that devotional service has to be of a particular quality or a particular characteristic in order for one to be able to approach Krishna as he is. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadyanavritam. That devotional service has to be performed free from material considerations, without being covered with a desire to understand the Lord in a philosophical way, or certainly in a way that comes to the conclusion of the jnanis, that's the impersonal feature, and also without coverings of karma or fruitive desires. And that devotional service has to be performed with Krishna in mind, for his pleasure. Otherwise, devotional service that is mixed loses its potency. Although it is interesting, in the Srimad Bhagavatam we have examples, we were discussing this yesterday. The Bhagavatam gives us examples of devotees who engage in the process of devotional service, but initially they may not be pure. Right? Just like Dhruva Maharaj is an example of a devotee who approached the Lord with a desire to get something personal for himself. But because of the strength of his devotional service, he actually became purified by it. So that when he got an opportunity to see the Lord, his devotional service had purified him to the extent that the Lord appeared before him, and then he no longer had any interest in his material aspirations. So when the Lord said, okay, what would you like? here I can give you what you want. And Dhruva Maharaj said, no, I'm not interested anymore. So not that one has to be pure initially from the start, but in order to realize Krishna's personal Bhagavan, or realize Krishna in his original form, one has to perform pure devotional service. And the process of devotional service is such that if one engages in it wholeheartedly and enthusiastically, then gradually one will come to this point of purification. Anukulena Krishna Nushilanam, it's meant to be pleasing for Krishna. And initially, when we begin the process of devotional service, we don't have an idea of what's pleasing to Krishna. We don't know what's pleasing to Krishna. And so therefore, it's recommended that one takes the association of the devotees, specifically one performs devotional service under the instruction or under the guidance of the spiritual master. In that way, one is then taught how to perform service so that it actually is pleasing to Krishna. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado yasya prasadam nagati gatopi. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets the spiritual master, and by the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets Krishna. So by pleasing Krishna's representative, then automatically we're pleasing Krishna. So the process of pure devotional service has to be learnt from the devotees. In that way, one is then one becomes eligible to approach Krishna and understand and appreciate Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates with those devotees who follow his process. This is Krishna's recommendation. Tadvidhi pranipartena pariprasnena sevaya upadeksanti te yanam jnaninas tattvadashnaha. We have to manifest the symptoms of submission. We have to inquire, we have to learn, we have to be enthusiastic to learn what the process of devotional service is, and we have to be prepared to then act on the instructions that are given to us by the spiritual master. We were discussing yesterday how devotional service in the beginning, Vaidhi Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, is basically devotional service in practice. So Prabhupada explains that this attraction for Krishna, this inclination for serving Krishna, is actually natural for us. It's something that's inherent within each of us. It doesn't have to be imposed, but rather it has to be uncovered. The process of devotional service, this, what is it, bhaktya upanupayinya, unfailing devotional service, is a cleansing process which will uncover this natural affinity or natural affection for serving Krishna. And Prabhupada gives the example that we're a bit like a motor car that's carburetor's got clogged up, and so it doesn't go. And you know, it doesn't happen these days because very often, you know, if your car stops working and you've got an automatic, you can't just hop out and then give it a push and get it going again. But at least when I was a kid, we used to go out in our friends' cars, and they weren't always the best. I remember a friend of mine. We used to have an old Hillman, a bit like an Ambassador, actually. Looked exactly like an Ambassador. And none of us was over 16, so nobody had a driver's license. And we had this old bomb. And Jonathan Fry had fixed it up. We managed to get it going. And we used to hop in it and drive around the forest in this old car. Most of my parents shock and dismay. And but you know, it would break down, conk out. So then we'd have to get it going again. So everybody hops out, pushes it down the road, then eventually, and then off it goes. So Prabhupada says, you know, our devotional service is a bit like that. The car has a natural capacity to drive down the road under its own steam. But if everything's a little bit clogged up, then it needs a push. So we're like that. We have the natural propensity to serve Krishna, but it's clogged up. And it needs to be given a push. That pushing is the process of devotional service. The Varnashram system, in one sense, is a little bit indirect, because it's gradually purifying people and elevating people so that they can come to the point of performing devotional service. And it's interesting, actually, you know, when Lord Chaitanya was talking to Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Roy mentions, you know, well, he's asking him, you know, well, how do we gradually elevate people? How do we come to the point of Krishna consciousness? Ramananda Roy gives the Varnashram process, and actually Lord Chaitanya rejects it. He said, no, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not direct enough. And you know, in all of the different stages of purification that Ramananda Roy presents to Lord Chaitanya, it's not until Ramananda Roy starts to describe the process, what is it, Shravanadi Sudha Chitte Karaye Udoy, that when one starts to hear and chant about Krishna, then Lord Chaitanya was satisfied, actually. So, you know, this Varnashram system, it does work, but it takes time. It actually takes a long time to bring a person up to the point of Krishna consciousness. And it's interesting that, you know, Adi Krishna brought up this point the other day, that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't mention the process of devotional service very much. I mean, certainly it is the ultimate conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, but there's a lot of discussion about the gradual development of the yoga system, the yoga ladder, if you like. And Krishna mentions that, you know, in order to be engaged in devotional service, one has to become purified. But if we look at Lord Chaitanya's message, Lord Chaitanya's message is, everybody, anybody, chant Hare Krishna, engage in devotional service. Don't wait for people to become purified. Just, you know, throw them in. That's why Lord Chaitanya is described as Mahavadanyaya, like Krishna Prema Pradayata. He's just liberally giving Krishna consciousness to everybody, even if you're not qualified. Doesn't matter. Chant Hare Krishna. If you are qualified, good, chant Hare Krishna. Right? We almost have a one size fits all philosophy. Right? In one sense we do. The process of purification is the same, although the engagement may be different. This is where the Varnashram system is actually important for Krishna consciousness, because it provides an appropriate foundation for each one of us to engage our natural conditioning, because that's what it is, based on the body that we've got, in devotional service. Right, so Varnashram is important for us, and this is how I understand, anyway, why Prabhupada was encouraging Varnashram in the development of the Krishna consciousness movement. Not because Varnashram is the system by which we become purified. The system by which we become purified is the engagement in devotional service directly, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, etc. All of these activities are directly devotional service. That's our purification. But to order and structure and to engage us practically, the Varnashram principles are applied, so that we look at a person's situation and we say, okay, what ashram should this person be in, basically, initially. okay, brahmachari, brahmacharini, or okay, householder, or okay, renounced, or retired order of existence. And you know, the various stages of even you see in householder life, we have, you know, newlywed, very happy. But then along comes the first child, then the second child. So, you know, parents with kids, then parents with children who are going to school, then parents with children who are then going to, you know, university or whatever. Less demands on the parents. Actually, by that stage, the parents are hoping, when are my kids going to move out? And then, you know, families without children. So they can be engaged differently in devotional service. And vana, you know, what's our occupation? What's our natural propensity to work? Or put it very simply, what kind of a job have you got? Because very often in this day and age, you may be qualified to do one thing, but you'll never get a job in that area, so you have to basically do what you can. So we've got, you know, we've got IT experts and engineering experts who are driving trams. Right? So that's how we engage the vana. Basically, what's your job? So that keeps us then practically engaged and able to then maintain our ashram, the engagement that we have. And that then provides, you know, the basis, the stability, if you like, for a community who can then dedicate themselves to the direct engagement in devotional service. Right? We need to have an occupation. We need to have a settled ashram. Once those things are satisfied, then we can engage in basically pure devotional service. That's what the spiritual master does. And that's really what the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is for. Teaching people how to engage in pure devotional service so that they can come to this direct understanding of Krishna in his... Well, to come to understand Krishna. If you understand Krishna, then automatically you understand Bhagawan. Automatically you understand Paramatma. Automatically you understand Brahman. It's not very difficult, actually. It's actually a very, very simple process. That's one of the difficulties of understanding. You know, as Prabhupada says, everybody wants something complicated and difficult. And then when they're presented with the process of devotional service, it is actually quite a simple process, but it delivers the highest level of self-realization. Extremely powerful. But of course, it has to be adhered to very strictly. Something that has to be focused on, has to be understood and then focused on. And in the beginning, we do that by following the basic practice of devotional service, this Vaidhi, the rules and regulations as they're given. 64 items basically given by Rupa Goswami as we find them in the Nectar of Devotion and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And by learning that process, that basic process of practice, devotional service in practice, it has the power or the potency to purify. That's also mentioned in the second canto of the Bhagavad Gita. Akama, Savakama, Va, Mokshakama, Dharadi, Tivrena, Bhakti Jogena, Yajeta, what is it? Purusham Para? Is that right? If we want to become purified, whether we have material desires or whether we're free from material desires, whether we want liberation or even if we don't know what we want, right, which is very often the case, we come to Krishna consciousness not realizing what it is we want, not realizing that ultimately we're attracted to Krishna, or not realizing that even if we are attracted to Krishna, still there's some some contamination or some covering. But if we engage in the process of devotional service under the order of the spiritual master, the bhakti with this quality, anupayinya, or as is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in the 14th chapter, avyapicharayinya bhakti, which means devotional service which isn't deviated or disturbed by distractions. That devotional service, especially when it is performed without motivation for philosophical understanding or fruitive gain, when it's performed following the directions of the previous acharyas, this is satovritte, following in the footsteps of the previous devotees. In other words, following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, that's our process. That's why Prabhupada says we're Rupanugas. We're following Rupa Goswami. And that's why Prabhupada said the nectar of devotion is the law book for ISKCON. Right? Not that necessarily we use it for solving our disputes or, you know, in punishing people, but rather the law book in the sense that here's how we engage in devotional service. Rupa Goswami has given us, here are the 64 items of devotional service. So apply those to your practice, and then performing those activities without deviation, without failing, then that activity or those activities have such powerful purifying potency that they'll gradually bring us to the understanding of Krishna. I might read this next verse. There's no purport to this one. Iti sva dhamma nirnikka sattva nirgyata madgatihi jnana vijnana sampano nachirat samupaitimam. Thus one who has purified his existence by execution of his prescribed duties, who fully understands my supreme position, and who is endowed with scriptural and realized knowledge, very soon achieves me. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes.
Did you mean ISKCON, Krishna consciousness, or all religions?
Everybody. That's what Krishna says. Everybody is on my path. But some are going towards Krishna and some are going away. And you know, you see that in you know, just go and walk down the street and see how many people are not, you know, they're following all sorts of things, chasing all sorts of things. So they're not going towards Krishna. You know, they're going towards their BMWs and their new job and their house in Brighton. You know, the people over the road here are selling their house in Albert Park so that they can move into their newly renovated house in Brighton. And they've only just finished renovating this place. And they're a young couple. So how much money do they got? But that's what they're going towards. But that's not going towards Krishna. Whereas the devotees, well, we're living in Albert Park, but we don't own any houses in Albert Park. Too expensive. But we're going towards Krishna. That's my understanding. So ultimately everybody's on the path. We're all on the same path. Rather than, you know, whatever path you take, you get to the same destination. Prabhupada would criticize that kind of philosophy that was I guess current in India in when he was a boy. Yatamat tatapat. Whatever path you follow, then we all end up in the same destination. But Krishna says, no, we don't all end up in the same destination. You're going to hell and I'm going towards Krishna. So there's a difference. I came for class this morning to hear Jagannath Ram give class. Only you're giving class tomorrow, and I'm supposed to be giving today, so I was a bit disappointed. I don't even know what to do. I'd like to take the opportunity to remind everybody that Narayani is going to be visiting soon, and she'll be giving. She's a teacher at the VIHE in Vrindavan. Very, very, very nice presenter, popular speaker, at least amongst the students of the VIHE. She's not, you know, a well-known preacher as such. This is a very, very learned and gentle devotee. So she'll be giving classes on the Panchanga Bhakti, the five potent items of devotional service that can give us prema when she's here. So I'd just like to suggest to everybody to adjust your schedule so that you can get to hear her presentations in the week that she's here. I think she's coming, what? Not this week, but the week after. Yeah. Anything else? There's Stoker.
I've heard that in order to be qualified for devotional service,
yeah,
you have to have done some Adhyata Sukriti.
Yes.
So, and Lord Chaitanya, as you mentioned, he just delivered devotional service to everyone.
Yeah.
So, as far as our preaching or
we were discussing this yesterday actually at Krishnamurti's place. Prabhupada gives the example of igniting a fire in wet grass. You know, if you light a match and you throw it into wet grass, what happens? It goes out, right? But if you have dry grass, you get a match and you throw it in, and poof, up it goes very quickly. So Prabhupada says preaching is very much drying out wet grass. And we dry out the wet grass by Harinam, by prasadam distribution, by book distribution, by giving association in a variety of ways. So gradually people become purified. They become relaxed even, you know, in the association of devotees. What is it? Krishna mentions due to attachment, fear and anger, people, you know, reject Krishna basically. So and you know, when people in ignorance see devotees, sometimes they are fearful. I remember when I first used to see the Harinam party, I was scared of the devotees. You know, Gaura Mandala Bhumi has eyes where you can see the whites of his eyes above is it pupils? The round part of your eye, right? So he looks really scary. You know, when you see them, when you see the whites of their eyes above, it's like, it looks like somebody's seen a ghost. So he used to have this really penetrating look playing a mandanga, and he used to say, whoa. Basically, if you get mixed up with these guys, that's it, you're finished. So, people are scared. You know, I remember once I was doing book distribution, going door to door, And one man opened up the door and he saw us and he goes, and he slammed the door so hard that it bounced back open again. But, no, serious. The same day, one guy opened up the door and he says, I'm going to get my gun. If you're not out of here, then I'm going to shoot you. We don't have things like that happening these days so much. So, you know, there's fear. But as people take prasadam, hear the holy name, associate with, you know, meet the devotees and associate with them. That's why prasadam distribution is so potent, because, you know, there's no argument. You can't argue against a pakora. If it tastes good, then people really appreciate it. So, gradually by that, and that's agyata sukriti, you know, so in that way then, you know, Prabhupada said to, when his disciples asked him, you know, we didn't have any pious credits, so how can we take the devotional service? And Prabhupada said, well, I've created them for you. And see, that's really that's where Lord Chaitanya is Mahavadanyaya, because Krishna Prema Padayata, he's giving Krishna freely to everybody. And it said, you know, in the Vedic, you know, in this following of the Varnashram system, it takes some time to be elevated to this point. It takes time. Whereas, you know, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya has smashed open the storehouse of love of Godhead, and he's just freely giving it to everybody, just throwing it away, practically speaking. Yet because people are not qualified, then they don't take advantage of it. Or, you know, it's like you have something really valuable, but you don't really appreciate it. So we give people an opportunity to directly take to the process of devotional service, but also we understand that some people take time. Just like I was having a chat with one of the devotees yesterday about some of the people that are coming to Krishna Fest, and we were just discussing, you know, there are some people who fast track, you know, they come to the temple, meet the devotees, you just tell them chant Hare Krishna, you know, on beads or whatever, 16 rounds, and in a couple of weeks, boing, they're chanting. But then other people, they come in the association of the devotees, you tell them for years, you know, chant Hare Krishna, and they don't do it. Huh? You can't twist their arm, you can't bash them up. Huh? But gradually, slow, you know, depending on that sukriti, And that seems to, you know, take time to accumulate in some people. So we have to also be, you know, for some people we have to be in it for the long haul, and for some people it just happens very quickly. Now, we can understand, at least from my understanding, Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar, you know, in the Nectar of Devotion, in the that maybe Rupa Goswami mentions it also. Devotional service is a continuation from your previous lifetime. So we could assume that those people who take very quickly to the process of devotional service have performed some devotional service prior to this lifetime as a continuation, whereas others may not have because it takes them longer. You know, you see it, somebody turns up, say chant Hare Krishna, then immediately they just start chanting, and they're very steady, they just go and do devotional service. And others, you know, they'll take prasadam, they'll associate with the devotees, they'll even do service or whatever, but it'll take them some time, quite some time, at least from our perspective. Of course, in the perspective of the whole, you know, universal affairs, they're taking the Krishna consciousness like just like that, right? So, That's why we can't underestimate, or we shouldn't underestimate, the power of Harinam, the power of book distribution, the power of prasadam distribution. You know, there's the story of the devotees chanting in Tompkins Square or one of the squares in New York, and the local shopkeepers, you know, the hamburger guys and the hot dog wallers, they would object and complain. What are you doing here? Go away. Don't disturb us. But the devotees kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. But eventually they stopped, went out on book distribution or whatever. And then years later they came back. They were chanting Hare Krishna and the shopkeepers would say, where you been? What are you doing? Why aren't you chanting here anymore? And we even get that now. You know, people will say, where are you? We don't see you anymore. We used to see you all the time chanting Hare Krishna. So, you know, it has immense potency. For some reason or other, we forget the potency of Krishna consciousness. It's worked on us. We get the benefit of it. Then we forget how potent it is and how beneficial it is to actually, you know, distribute. That's one of the things that I think we should... Jagannath Raman and I have been having a discussion about getting the various bhakti riksha groups together on a number of weekends, at least in the year, once a month or periodically. And we have five or six teams of devotees that just go out into the suburbs and chant Hare Krishna on a Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. Take out prasadam, take out books, and just blitz, you know, Melbourne for a weekend, so you can distribute the most books, have a bit of a competition. That would have a huge impact on our presence just in the city. People say, oh, Hare Krishnas, what are they up to? And it gives the Bhakti Riksha groups some practical preaching engagement as well, so it gets us out of our living rooms and on the street, which is a challenge also. Going out on the street and preaching is a challenge. But we also know that if we are giving Krishna consciousness to others, even though it's a challenge, it strengthens our devotional resolve, strengthens our devotional service. It means, you know, you have to stand up and be counted. I'm a devotee of Krishna. I used to think when I joined a temple, what happens if I go out on chanting and some of my friends see me? How embarrassing. They already thought I was crazy anyway, so it didn't matter. I think, oh, what happens if my mum and dad see me? One of the reasons why I was happy to come to Melbourne was because I couldn't explain to my mum and dad why I wanted to be a Hare Krishna. Well, actually, it wasn't that I couldn't explain to them. It was just that I didn't think that they would understand. And also in those days, you know, I remember preaching to my brother and I was telling him, if you don't become a devotee, then you're going to become a hog and a dog and a camel and an ass in your next life. And he wasn't very enthusiastic about my presentation. I thought, going to have to rethink this. Not very subtle. But actually, you know, we study the Shastra, we follow the process, but actually, and that's good, that's essential, obviously, but Lord Chaitanya's mission is Krishna Prema Pradayate. We should be going out and giving it to others. That's like the full circle for us as devotees. That then solidifies and consolidates our Krishna consciousness, and it also expands the mission, if you like. Expands the Sangha by, you know, drying out the wet grass, basically. And, you know, we sometimes the devotees say, you know, oh, how are we going to preach to the, you know, the Western devotees? We say Western. I say not Western, non-Indian, because really that's what we're talking about. Our membership in one sense, active membership is 90%, 95%. Indian families, which is fine. You know, I figure, why not sell to your best customers first, right? Best customers, okay, come on. But now we've got a strong community of devotees, we need to take Krishna consciousness to the rest. And why not do it in the same way that Prabhupada, that Lord Chaitanya did, go out and chant Hare Krishna. Huh? Not difficult, is it? Stand on the street and chant Hare Krishna. How hard is that? I can tell you how hard it is if you like, but just like the other day, you know, the boys went down to St. Kilda and there was a guy who harassed them. And creating a disturbance. So, you do get opposition. There will be. Actually, you know, in one sense, we're in our comfort zone in downtown Melbourne and around here because everybody knows us. But go out to Nunawading and people look at you like you come from Mars. And it's embarrassing, you know, sometimes you meet people and they say, who are you? What are you? So I'm Hare Krishna. What's that? So that's, it's like, ooh, ooh. If people don't know about the Hare Krishna movement, that means we're not doing our job properly. So that's the reason why we need to get out to, Ringwood, Nunawading, or how about Dandenong? Ooh, there's a place for you. Huh? Footscray. I haven't been, actually Dandenong has changed since I went. I used to go and do Sankirtan in all these places. Dandenong was like, Aussie loca. Go down there now and it's like, where am I? Am I in Africa or in India or where am I? So anyway, we've been we're going to see if we can encourage the Bhakti Riksha leaders to group together and, with the temple devotees and the householders, we can do some weekend marathons where we go out and just chant Hare Krishna, distribute books and prasadam and work on our audience. And they may not be qualified today, but if we keep doing that consistently over a period of time, they'll become purified, and eventually they'll. And even the funny thing is, the people who show the most resistance sometimes they're the ones that become the devotees first. There are humorous stories of how there are devotees. There was one devotee called Giridhari Rupa who worked in a fruit shop and he used to throw rotten vegetables at the devotees. Well, eventually he became a devotee. See, he goes, oh, not the Hare Krishnas again. So he's always chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you Hare Krishnas. So then he gets purified quicker than anybody else. He says, I hate those Hare Krishnas. Well, good, keep chanting Hare Krishna. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. So he tried to disturb us and we just kept chanting.
Yeah.
So he tried to make fun of us and he started chanting, oh, Hare Krishna, you think it's
good. Yeah. That's why we laugh. when the yobos come in and they start going, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then we're just laughing because we're not at all disturbed by that. We're thinking, okay, mate, great, keep chanting. Even if he doesn't know what he's doing. And as we know, they do all sorts of things. All right, I think we should finish here. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.